He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
All right, we're still bringing in the information on the Supreme Court's historic decision, hotly contested. The Chief Justice, John Roberts, joining the minority, the four votes in a blistering dissent, saying that laws matter, that this isn't about feeling good, that the Supreme Court majority was guilty of judicial activism. I don't know if the Chief Justice used those words. That is the import of what he is saying. But the bottom line is the Supreme Court of the United States says that same-sex couples can marry in all 50 states and that all 50 states must recognize them as married. What is curious to me, Noam Layden, is why the crowd gathered outside the hallowed chambers of the United States Supreme Court is not more ebulliently reacting. Could it be that we know more than they?
Well, no, because you saw we were watching as the decision came down that was ran down to the reporters who were on the scene. So they had to know about it at the exact same time that we knew about it. You know what I think is also interesting? If I understand this ruling right, the court's ruling also means that the remaining 14 states in the South and the Midwest where the gay marriage ban is still in place no longer can be in place. That ban is gone.
You're right. They may have the ban, but the ban be damned. The Supreme Court of the United States now says that your state, name the state, have to recognize this marriage as legal, just as if it were between a heterosexual couple, that it has to be recognized as legal. That is, it will have a powerful impact. There's no question about it.
14 states in all. And you wonder, of course, and then you think about the political ramifications, right? We're starting to get into the whole presidential season. You had the debate and the decision on Obamacare. Now the next day you have this decision on gay marriage. Who does it help in the presidential election in that season? Now gay marriage will be a settled issue. Can Republicans move on from it? They don't have to talk about it. For the ones who are, it's uncomfortable for them to talk about it.
That's a good point. They can do what Senator Ted Cruz did in condemning the court's decision in Obamacare. He can run, or they can run, against the Supreme Court, against the judicial activists. They love it when the activism works their way. I mean, liberals and conservatives.
Right.
And they detest it when it goes the other way. But this is clearly, this is a major, major decision. This is a twofer. This is a threefer now for President Obama. I think that when you consider that President Obama has been kind of on a roll since giving that interview, the funky podcast interview, using the N-word, very breezy he was, very confident in that interview, newfound confidence in explaining his feeling about the racial divide. So that's one. Then you've got Obamacare, that dramatic 6-3 ruling upholding Obamacare. Now, as the president, he come late to the party, like most Democrats. He has embraced gay marriage, and now gay marriage has been legalized as as Anthony Kennedy, Associate Justice of the Supreme Court, joined the four members of the liberal wing of the court to legalize gay marriage nationwide. We are witnessing. Do I still have Angela Giampolo on the line?
Angela, yep, I'm here.
Hi, Angela. So have you had a chance to absorb any more of this? I know that your practice focuses on gay and LGBT civil rights. So this is the biggest civil right of all. Your response.
Like we were saying about the opinion, it's clear now that not only based on the 14th Amendment, but that LGBT individuals, their fundamental rights are being respected through equal protection. Now what we need to figure out, and no one's been reporting on it yet, is will the level of scrutiny be raised? Will we join the ranks of women and African American and, ageism and what have you? Will LGBT rights be lifted up to the next class?
All right. I want to ask our audience listening right now, 866 or other, I'd like your reaction to what the Supreme Court has done here. Hillary Clinton has just tweeted out, proud to celebrate a historic victory for marriage equality and the courage and determination of LGBT Americans who made it possible. She signs it H. So, Angela, how will this in some ways dull the impetus of the LGBT community to vote, to get involved in politics? Why bother now your issue is resolved?
I mean, honestly, Geraldo, I think this is the beginning of the next wave of litigation. You know, heard you say earlier about, you know, now what a Republican's going to talk about, they're going to have to change the issue. Absolutely not. Conservatives are like that boardwalk game, whack-a-mole. Every time I feel like we hit them down in one area, they pop up somewhere else. And you have the governor of Louisiana who wants to run for president, who is trying to pass the Marriage Conscience Act. So fine, if Louisiana must recognize gay marriage, which now they must, the new wave of litigation or laws that are going to be brought forth is sort of going to be RFRA, but with the marriage slant. Again, totally my opinion. I don't know, but I really think the next 30 years of litigation is going to be around First Amendment. And now, where do we draw the line between your religious right?
Are you talking about the wedding cake baker now? Or are you talking about, is that the issue, that they won't bake the cake for the gay wedding?
Right. So that's RFRA. That's the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. But the governor of Louisiana created what's called the Marriage Conscience Act, which is basically a hybrid of the religious restoration, using RFRA, but specifically to marriage, knowing that this day was going to come. We all knew it would be today. Today's a trifecta. June 26th is like, you know, a gay day. It should be declared nationally. Lawrence v. Texas, the anti-sodomy case was decided by Kennedy on June 26th. Edie Windsor v. United States was decided on June 26th, also authored and penned by Kennedy. So we knew, even though Monday was an option, you know, every gay person today is like the new gay day. But there has never, ever been a case litigated around LGBT rights vis-a-vis your First Amendment right to think that I'm going to hell.
I got you. That's the wedding cake baker case. I'm more of a 420 man myself. But 626 is fine, and I appreciate it. Angela, good luck to you, and congratulations.
Thank you, Geraldo. Thank you.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about 866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536? I'll take one before the break, and then let's go. Let's talk. Here's Mark in Edison. What's up, man?
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if the government could actually remove the word marriage, let's say, from all of its legal documents and replace it with something like union, only because it seems the word marriage has a religious connotation, and people who are very religious, you know, seem to be offended by, I'll say, gay marriage. But if everybody had a union, you could still call yourself married.
Well, I don't care if you call it Fred or Jack. The fact of the matter is, you now have a right to marry someone of the same sex in all 50 states.
I'm just saying is that if it was...
No, I understand your point. It would have been a nice compromise, but I don't think it's necessary now, nor do I think the LGBT community, now given this right to marry anyone you want. And I'm telling you, I want to make no bones about it. You know, I know, folks, that many of you have, including my friend Donald Trump, have a very negative response to my take on immigration and the need for comprehensive immigration reform that includes the legalization of the status of the 11 or 12 million here. I know, and I don't want to change the topic to that. My point is, I know how unpopular my views are on immigration. I don't know what your views, I have no real true sense of what your view is on gay marriage. Seems to me that many of you listeners, even if you are from the middle to the right of the political spectrum, have over the last several months come around, as much of America, including President Obama, has come around to being in favor of, if you want to get married, marry whoever you want. I don't give a damn. As long as you're not marrying me, what do I care? Now the Supreme Court of the United States has essentially said that. And here's Carol in New Jersey. What's up, Carol?
Geraldo, why couldn't they describe it as civil union with all the rights and all the legal ramifications of marriage without terming it marriage, which is based on the Judeo-Christian, you know, heritage of this country, which is between a man and a woman.
I don't know, Carol. I think that the sense was within the gay community that they wanted it all or nothing. They went for marriage and just traditional, or atraditional in this case, marriage. They wanted marriage equality. Marriage equality means you don't call it union, you don't call it hookup, you don't call it going steady, you call it marriage. And now the Supreme Court of the United States, by this narrowest of margins, has said that gay folks can marry anyone they want to, wherever they want to. And I don't know if the Supreme Court is mandating states to marry. I think the Supreme Court is mandating states to recognize marriages once they happen.
I think you're right about that. They have to lift the ban, but they don't have to marry them within that state.
Right, right. But they if someone in the state wants to marry them, I don't think they can ban that. I'm not sure.
I have the whole decision
let me
here.
See
it's
it
like 800 pages.
All right.
Though.
All right, let me pour through that. I'll tell you, I know that all states now have to recognize gay marriage. That is settled. Gay marriage is now legal. It's a historic victory, in Hillary Clinton's words, for marriage equality. Now, whether states have to marry you, be forced to marry you, or whether the wedding cake guy has to serve you at the wedding, those, I think, are still unanswered, but I will do my best to get you the specific answer, and I appreciate your calls.
Where New York comes to talk.
So, by the narrowest of margins, welcome back, everybody, at 26 minutes after 10 o'clock on this June the 26th, the day that we have already heard proposals will be forever remembered as Gay Day or Gay Marriage Day. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that the Constitution of the United States guarantees a nationwide right to same-sex marriage. Like I said, it was the narrowest of margins, 5-4, with Justice Anthony Kennedy in a move that I thought was expected. I mean, he certainly telegraphed his own support. I mean, it should not have come as a huge shocker. In previous decisions, he certainly indicated he was leaning in favor of the recognition of same-sex marriage. He did, and now there is established a constitutional right to marry anybody you want to and to have that marriage recognized wherever you go in this country. It was already recognized in 36 states and the District of Columbia. Now this decision impacts certainly in a major way the 14 holdout states, most of them in the Midwest or the Deep South. Here's Chris in New Jersey. What are you thinking about, Chris?
How you doing, Geraldo? Yeah, as I said when I spoke to your assistant, you know, the Supreme Court got it right. And that's coming from a practicing Catholic who's pretty conservative on most topics. I mean, I'll be honest, it's not for me, but in the United States we have a Constitution. And you're guaranteed the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And if it makes you happy to have a consenting relationship with someone of your own sex in the privacy of your own home, and as long as it's loving and nurturing, who are we to say as a people, you can't do that? That's something that comes down at the end between you and God. If it's right or wrong, then you can explain yourself. But here in the United States, we need to start adhering to the Constitution more and more.
You know, you're a lovely speaker and thinker, and I love your philosophy. But I wonder, are you worried that now this is going to be thrown in your face, and your children, and your neighborhood? Now it's going to be, one size fits all.
Well, you know, one size is never going to fit all, Geraldo. And you and I have spoken a bunch of times before. I've called in. You know, growing up, I have to admit, I would be more considered, a person who might have made a joke that would have been offensive toward a person who lives an alternative lifestyle. But as you grow and you understand that everyone should be judged for who they are as opposed to what you think they may be, I mean, you just have to be accepting of the way. But saying that, the gay, lesbian community, and I don't know all the terminology, also
if
someone
be,
says,
so true.
In my view, it's, and I'll be honest, in my view, it's not what God wants. I'm not going to tell you you're immoral, but you can't tell me I'm a homophobe or a whatever.
I sound pejorative. I got to leave you, Chris, but I appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy. 866 Araldo's the number. We love Deborah Valentine, but Noam Layden, why are you you taking half a day off? What is it with you?
I was doing IMUS this morning. I was filling in for O'Connell.
You're filling in? Oh.
Yeah.
You weren't celebrating gay marriage.
No. Well, you could celebrate gay day, but I wasn't doing that, no.
Gay day. That's how you give me
I like that day.
Gay day. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Sure, gay day. It was so recently. It was 2003. Up until 2003, you could still prosecute gay people for, you know, sodomy. It's amazing. I think someone's got a key open someplace in the control room there.
If they can hear us. They have the button pushed down.
They have the button. Well, maybe Crash is sitting on it.
Their conversation's pretty interesting. They just don't want to hear it right now. That's all.
I don't want to hear the obscenities. But when you think about it, the
I'll go with that.
I'll go fix it.
I'm going to go yell
before there's some horrible thing that happens. But the amazing thing is about the timing here. 2003 is like the day before yesterday. But the day before yesterday in this country, you could still be prosecuted for sodomy. That's 2003. The law says, the Supreme Court ruled, and Justice Kennedy, as I recall, wrote that decision. I think it was a Texas case, Lyle v. Texas. And Barney, I'm still hearing you. Dr. McFarland, on to you. Okay, you got Dr. Alex McFarland. He runs a group called the American Family Association. And he's on the line now, and I'm sure that his reaction is going to be different than the ebullient celebration we've been seeing. But Dr. McFarland, why don't you comment on the Supreme Court's historic ruling?
Well, good morning, Geraldo. Thank you for having me. A point of clarification, I don't run the American Family Association, although my radio show is on their network. But, this is disappointing because it further undermines our belief in natural law or moral law or what Jefferson called self-evident truth, which really undermines not only our judiciary and our freedoms, but our very Constitution.
You know, I understand the argument on basics, but, you know, our founding documents also attributed to African Americans 3/5 the humanity of everyone else. I mean, times change. Don't you see how the country has, I was saying how it was illegal. It could be illegal for two guys or two women to have sex prior to 2003 in certain areas.
Sure.
Now, you know, we look at that and say, what was that about? I mean, can't the American Family Association change with the times?
Well, one's ethnicity is different than one's sexual behavior and sexual choices. And, you know, thankfully, thank God that the issue of slavery was addressed as quickly as it was. And, you know, if we could go back in time, certainly a nation predicated on the belief that all men are created equal would have never gone down the pathway of slavery as both North and South did. But what I say when I speak at universities around the country, I'll say this. Look, if you want to engage in homosexual behavior, you can do that. Go for it. However, don't tear down, don't dismantle the backdrop, the culture that gives you the freedom to live your life as a non-heterosexual. I say to atheists, if you want to be a non-theist, you can do that, but don't tear down the milieu that gives you the freedom to safely walk around as a non-believer. Here's the deal. The idea that there is a moral code and there is Christianity and there are ethical absolutes, for many people that's a bitter pill to swallow, but I would submit that is a less bitter pill than the one we are in the process of swallowing, which is the pathway to societal anarchy, really.
You see this as a move toward that, to the disintegration, the breakdown of civilization?
Absolutely. And by the way, the greatest predictor for health, prosperity, psychological, financial health, and societal stability is the family. And traditional marriage, the family has been continually at best ignored and at worst thrown under
the bus. All right, Dr. McFarlane, Dr. Alex McFarlane is my guest. You know, he's from the American Family Association. But listen to the language. To the respondents, people like you, Dr. McFarlane, it would, I'm quoting from the decision, it would demean a timeless institution if marriage were extended to same-sex couples. But the petitioners, that is the gay people who wanted the right to marry, and now quoting from the decision again, far from seeking to devalue marriage, seek it for themselves because of their respect and need for its privileges and responsibilities.
Well,
isn't it time that, you just jump on board the times have changed now. Now you've lost. Now the constitutional right is extended. Now it's over, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not over. It's far from over because, truth has a certain tenacity about it. And times change, but truth doesn't. And I've got to say, from not only our founding documents, but to British common law in the 1100s and Western civilization 2,000 years ago, the culture that has blessed this world and built the freedoms and institutions that we've known and loved was based on belief in moral law. And I want to say this not only as a minister and as a pastor, as an educator, but as a counselor. And I did postgraduate work in developmental psychology. Those who struggle with same-sex attraction do so as a response to pain. Now, loving one's neighbor does not mean enabling them and facilitating their pathway down a lifestyle that is physically, psychologically, and I believe spiritually destructive. And by the way, let me say, while I know that many in the gay community have fought to see the moral boundaries erased so that marriage is legitimized, at least gay marriage, the reality is that within the homosexual community, monogamy is not the reality. We had at North Greenville University earlier this year.
Dr. McFarlane, you're howling at the moon, brother. It's over.
It's not over.
It's over. Now you can complain about it.
No.
I'm sure a lot of people complained about multiracial marriages when they broke back in the, that decision in the 60s. It's over.
Thank God that people like William.
Yeah, but God's a funny thing. It's a kind of in the, he's kind of, she's kind of in the eye of the beholder. You're invoking God with such confidence. I admire that confidence, but I wouldn't take it to the bank. Listen, it's great talking to you. Good luck with your show and the American Family Association. The ship has sailed now. It's a question. Now the litigation will be, as Angela, the gay lawyer from Philadelphia, suggests, now the fight will be on services. Can the hall deny the access to the gay couple? Can the wedding cake guy, the photographer, all these services, are churches now going to be forced in some ways to recognize something like this fellow's church? Is it now going to be forced to accept as a married couple parishioners who come and apply for family membership? I mean, these are intriguing questions that will be resolved eventually, but this is major. Once you establish, it's like abortion, which was a similarly hard-fought, bitterly divisive decision. Once the Supreme Court said you had a right of privacy, first of all, and the privacy extended to your body and the, and then in Roe v. Wade that effectively you could have, you could terminate a pregnancy up to the time when the fetus was quick, that is viable independent of the mom. Once that right was decided, I mean, they didn't give up the anti-abortion folks. They didn't give up. It energized some people, but they knew to overturn it, they needed an amendment to the Constitution of the United States, and that would require 3/4 of all the states agreeing. It was just like an impossible. The last amendment was having to do, I think, with presidential two-term limits on presidents. So right now, this is a constitutional right. Gay people have a right to get married, and you have to recognize that they are married. I mean, married with all of the rights and privileges and responsibilities appertaining thereto, as we say in the law. Now, so it's been litigation, it's been activism, it's been parading, it's been everything. Now it's the law. Now it's the law of the land. This is a huge decision. There's a lot of things I want to talk about today. And I'll take all the calls on the gay marriage situation as long as they're coming in. But also, you had these terrorist attacks in three continents today. In France, remember, that was an American company that was attacked. In Tunisia, remember, those were Western tourists, European tourists, mostly British, I bet you, who were attacked in Tunisia. In Kuwait, a Shiite mosque. You know who's doing this. This is ISIS. This is the Sunni Muslim extremists. Three attacks today, Ramadan, the holy month, where you're supposed to get extra credits if you act out, if you believe that. So there's a lot going on, and President Obama, now he's going to be talking about gay marriage momentarily at the top of the hour. And then later he's going to be eulogizing Reverend Pinckney in Charleston, South Carolina. But for goodness sake, Mr. President, you got to recognize that this is a nation, ours, at war. ISIS is declaring war on the West. We have to wake up and smell the gunpowder.
77 WABC.
My brother from another mother at Fox News, Juan Williams, joins us right now. Juan, welcome. So we know that it's constitutional now. What if any, will be the political ramifications from this decision?
Well, you got to team it up, Geraldo, with what happened on Obamacare. And I think conservatives just feel under siege at the moment politically. The impact is that if you go into 2016, they're going to be rallying against the court and saying that the court has become a seat of judicial activism. But they also say, you know what, we are not going to be left behind, that their traditions, their beliefs, so they have some value, and that the people who want to stand up for those values should vote Republican. And they're going to say that very loud and clear. Already you've seen in terms of the response, not only, again, on Obamacare, where all the candidates have come out and said, spend money in a hurry because we've got to, repeal and replace it. But on the gay rights thing, I think you're going to see people say, you know what, we're not going to be pushed aside. We're going to stand up for our religious values, and we don't believe that two men or two women have any right to marry.
But, I hear that. But in both Obamacare and gay marriage, the polling that I've seen indicates that a bare majority and increasing majority of the American people are in favor of both those programs. So does it work for the Republicans in terms of the White House run next year? See, I don't think bitching and moaning about it's going to get very far. I think that increasingly it'll sound shrill and churlish and selfish in a way. What are you going to do? You're not going to have the Supreme Court's not going to reverse itself. You're not going to get an amendment to the Constitution.
They can raise money off of it during this coming
campaign.
Yeah,
you can raise money, but, money doesn't buy votes necessarily. It's a great fundraiser, I agree, but if you're raising from a bitter minority of people, then I don't see how that helps you win back the White House that you covet. I think, au contraire, Hillary Clinton's embracing it will make her more powerful, and I want to see which Republicans embrace it or not. An historic day, an historic decision by the Supreme Court of the United States. Hold on one second. Excuse me. I'm trying to delete a tweet. I did one of my late night tweets. I have gnome working it.
Can I read it out loud?
Shut up. Get out of here. But a historic, you can't figure it out? All right. An historic day in the Supreme Court. As I was saying, welcome back. 77 WABC. We are tracking reaction to the Supreme Court's razor-thin 5-4 decision, essentially declaring unconstitutional any state's efforts to thwart gay marriage. In other words, gay people, like straight people, now have a constitutional right to get married if they care to, and the state cannot deny them that right. So it is a huge decision that has come down. Let me ask you for your reaction. Here's John in New York City. What's up, John?
Hi, Geraldo. Yes, I think the court decision was probably inevitable. But I'd take exception to your calling the people who are in opposition to it as being the bitter minority. If one judge had changed his vote and gone the other way and denied the right of gay marriage, would you now consider yourself to be part of a bitter minority?
Yes. But I understand your point.
Okay.
Your point is that it was so razor thin and that the people of the United States are pretty evenly divided, although the surveys I see indicate that a bare majority now is in favor of gay marriage. It's pretty clear that the courts have been ahead of, you know, the public. Certainly New Jersey, wasn't it defeated in New Jersey, the gay marriage? Wasn't that also defeated, as I recall? I get you. I don't mean to characterize, and I don't know where you stand, John, people who are in opposition or who are distressed by the Supreme Court's decision as being bitter in the sense that, bitter is used in as a demeaning, kind of small-minded. I don't mean that at all. I just mean that there are a lot of people who are, received a body blow right now. And your question is well put, and I will try to be more sensitive, although I am absolutely in favor of what the Supreme Court did. I think that it is long overdue. I mean, I go back a long way with the gay rights movement since the very, very beginnings, really in the Village and, Stonewall and all that, pre-AIDS and how that devastated the community and how I remember AIDS. Let me tell you, I don't want to get emotional about this. And, John,
well,
I appreciate
I think, if I can just mention this, I think people have a right to live their lives the way they want to live them. But I think you have to take some perspective in and respect the heritage of thousands of years of
I do, and I do respect it. And again, I apologize and thank you for busting my chops about it. But I just want to talk about,
good to talk to you.
You too, buddy. Talking about the, I remember there was a West Beth, I think they called it. There was a residence for artists on West Street. And I think the cross street was Bethune, so I think it was West Beth. And they called it like the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic because they were all artists, many of them gay, theater people, contemporary art, just the whole place by city edict was filled with artists, many of whom were gay. It was like everybody died in that building during the AIDS epidemic. But the reason I brought it up and the reason it's so emotional is I remember when they were dying, many of my friends, my gay friends, were dying, and their lovers couldn't access automatically the way spouses could. Their rooms, their estates were a mess because here you have a gay man who's dies at 40 years old, and he's been living with another guy who's 40 years old. And maybe, before he came out, he was married and has a kid and hasn't seen the kid. And he wants the stuff to go to the lover, but it doesn't do that unless it's specifically in the will. You know what I mean?
When the state doesn't recognize that.
There were no rights. They had no rights. And it was so you had the plague. It was a plague. I mean, it's hard to remember what it was like in those years from 1983 until, until these cocktails and stuff, 10, 15 years almost, where it was a real plague, where people were dying left and right. It was awful. I lost so many of my friends, Luis Martinez, Giorgio Sanangelo. I could name a million of them. And they were just, the way they got discriminated against in their final moments on earth was so pathetic that when the gay marriage thing really took off, I jumped on board that bandwagon in a hurry because what the hell? I remember the jokes when we started doing it, when we started supporting it. Why should gay people be spared the misery of marriage?
Being married, yeah. That's true.
And now you're going to have all these gay divorces, I'm sure. It'll track society. What is it? 50% of marriages end up in divorce, something like that. I'm sure that it will track straight. They're going to go through the same thing, same child custody battles and all the rest of it. It's going to be messy. But today, I think, is a day for celebration of a civil right that is now recognized as constitutional. And I get it, folks. I get it that many of you feel as John did that, you know, how dare I, crow when you're crying, because I understand that there's sincerity. There's sincerity on both sides. Rich, thanks for your patience, buddy. What's up?
Oh, yeah, Geraldo. Yeah, Geraldo, your previous caller, Carol, is absolutely correct when she asked why the gay community will not accept civil unions when it provides all the legal benefits of marriage, and you dismissed it with an I don't know. Well, that's a pretty important question, and it requires an answer. So if it's not about the rights, then what is it about? And the only explanation is they're not so much concerned about getting equal rights as they are obviously to destroy the idea of traditional marriage.
That's you saying that, and I disagree with
you.
You attribute a malicious motive to someone wanting the same rights as you have. I mean, come on, dude.
Answer her question.
Her question about what their real motive. How does she know?
No. Why won't the gay community?
Because they want the same thing as you do. They want the same thing as you do. They want to be married. Why can't they be married?
Why can't they accept civil unions?
Because they don't want to be second rate. Why can't black people accept the water fountain in the back of the store?
They just want the same legal rights.
The ship has sailed, dude. The president of the United States is speaking right now.
Our nation was founded on a bedrock principle that we are all created equal. The project of each generation is to bridge the meaning of those founding words with the realities of changing times. A never-ending quest to ensure those words ring true for every single American. Progress on this journey often comes in small increments. Sometimes two steps forward, one step back, propelled by the persistent effort of dedicated citizens. And then sometimes there are days like this, when that slow, steady effort is rewarded with justice that arrives like a thunderbolt. This morning, the Supreme Court recognized that the Constitution guarantees marriage equality. In doing so, they've reaffirmed that all Americans are entitled to the equal protection of the law, that all people should be treated equally, regardless of who they are or who they love. This decision will end the patchwork system we currently have. It will end the uncertainty hundreds of thousands of same-sex couples face from not knowing whether their marriage, legitimate in the eyes of one state, will remain if they decide to move or even visit another. This ruling will strengthen all of our communities by offering to all loving same-sex couples the dignity of marriage across this great land. In my second inaugural address, I said that if we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well. It is gratifying to see that principle enshrined into law by this decision. This ruling is a victory for Jim Ogerufel and the other plaintiffs in the case. It's a victory for gay and lesbian couples who have fought so long for their basic civil rights. It's a victory for their children, whose families will now be recognized as equal to any other. It's a victory for the allies and friends and supporters who spent years, even decades, working and praying for change to come. And this ruling is a victory for America. This decision affirms what millions of Americans already believe in their hearts. When all Americans are treated as equal, we are all more free. My administration has been guided by that idea. It's why we stopped defending the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, and why we were pleased when the court finally struck down a central provision of that discriminatory law. It's why we ended Don't Ask, Don't Tell. From extending full marital benefits to federal employees and their spouses, to expanding hospital visitation rights for LGBT patients and their loved ones, we've made real progress in advancing equality for LGBT Americans in ways that were unimaginable not too long ago. I know change for many of our LGBT brothers and sisters must have seemed so slow for so long. But compared to so many other issues, America's shift has been so quick. I know that Americans of goodwill continue to hold a wide range of views on this issue. Opposition, in some cases, has been based on sincere and deeply held beliefs. All of us who welcome today's news should be mindful of that fact, recognize different viewpoints, revere our deep commitment to religious freedom. But today should also give us hope that on the many issues with which we grapple, often painfully, real change is possible. Shifts in hearts and minds is possible. And those who have come so far on their journey to equality have a responsibility to reach back and help others join them. Because for all our differences, we are one people, stronger together than we could ever be alone. That's always been our story. We are big and vast and diverse, a nation of people with different backgrounds and beliefs, different experiences and stories, but bound by our shared ideal that no matter who you are or what you look like, how you started off, or how and who you love, America's a place where you can write your own destiny.
All right, amen, Mr. President. The President of the United States taking a victory lap, talking about how his administration has evolved, how they stopped defending the Defense of Marriage Act, which required a heterosexual couple for there to be a legal marriage. That led to the whole era of civil unions in those states. Civil unions challenged, ultimately defeated. State by state then jumping on board as the gay marriage wave swept the country. 36 states ultimately passed their own laws legalizing gay marriage. 14 states opposed. The Supreme Court of the United States has said one size fits all. There is now a constitutional right to marry anyone you want to, regardless of the sex of your spouse.
Where New York comes to talk.
Welcome back. 26 minutes after 11. An historic day in Washington, D.C. The High Court of, the Supreme Court of the United States, has ruled that there is a constitutional right to marry. And the crowds are streaming onto the plaza at the court in celebration. There is, I'm sure, mourning going on among many, and we in the faith-based community who have opposed it. But this speaker, at least, yours truly, I believe that this is a long time in coming. It came, though, I have to say, you know, having watched things like feminism, the women's rights movement, was just really being born when I became an activist in the late 60s. It really took a while. I mean, you had the first big splash with the, you know, women, you know, being very dramatic in terms of their equality and insisting and during the hippie era of having hair under their arms and things of that nature. And that evolved into now you're talking about equal pay for equal work and Carly Fiorina running for president, Hillary Clinton, running for president. You name them, the evolution of all these corporate Chiefs. The women's movement not yet totally resolved, but certainly dramatic progress over 40, 50 years. Gay rights, gay marriage. President Obama, when did he come out for gay marriage?
Well, 2012.
Yeah, 2012. So there you... 2012 is like the day before yesterday. The president suddenly wakes up and says, I'm for gay marriage. And it was only, as I recall, wasn't it because Joe Biden pulled him kicking and screaming into it?
Right. Yeah.
Joe Biden went on TV first and said, we're for gay marriage. And President Obama says, oh, I guess we're for gay marriage. And then now he's making a, taking a victory lap at the White House and saying it's the right thing. But it is the right thing. I mean, let's be real. It is the right thing. I understand many people oppose it. Many people listening right now are upset about it, but, it's now the law. Gay people have a constitutional right to marry each other, just like you and me. Dan. Hi, Dan. What's up?
Hey, Geraldo, two quick questions. Number one, what right is afforded under the term marriage that could not be afforded under civil union? And number two, how long...
I'll tell you. Let me answer number one first. Wait, let me answer number one. The difference between marriage and civil union is it's not sanctified by either the state in a traditional sense or by God. If you get married, you want to bring a third party in, whether it's the state or a higher being. That's what a marriage is. You declare a union, but that is sanctified by somebody. I mean, it's different than you and I shaking hands and saying, well, okay, dude. We're civilly unioned.
But it's not going to be sanctified by God because the U.S. government says it is. But let me get to my second question, if I may. How long do you think it's going to be before someone files a suit requiring the church and or churches to marry a gay couple against their wishes? I think the suit will be filed by Monday.
It could be. You could be right. I'm not denying that there will be some unsavory acting out that happens as a result of this decision. But, that's what happens. That's what happens when you have big changes in society. You don't change conduct right away. People are assertive in their rights. A lot of what the gay rights movement has done, I find way too aggressive in many ways, the way they went after those two gay businessmen that embraced Senator Ted Cruz, for instance, banning them from the ferry boat to Fire Island or some such. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, the political correctness running amok. I talked about that yesterday. I hate political correctness. But, I recognize that this is now a constitutional right these folks have. I mean, it may be that that now you have some sidebar stories that are not so kumbaya. But for right now, I'm choosing to focus on the fact that the Supreme Court of the United States has declared constitutional the right of gay people to marry each other. And I think that is a good thing.
77 WABC.
38 minutes after 11 o'clock on this Friday, June the 26th, Gay Day will forever be remembered. As I believe going forward, Gay Day, the Supreme Court of the United States handing down that historic decision declaring that gay folks have a constitutional right to marry anybody they want, just like any other American. But there's other news here, and I have to get to it. I don't want to give a short trip because I think that although the gay marriage, lifting the gay marriage ban will be the feel-good story of the day among many people, and the beginning of the end of days for some of you listening. But there's more going on here, and I think that it's profoundly important that we talk about it. You've got this ISIS virus. There was a couple of months ago a chilling video released by ISIS that promised attacks on U.S. interests, on Belgium, and on France. This is after the Charlie Hebdo thing. And France this morning suffered that terrorist attack on Air Products. That's the Allentown, Pennsylvania-based American-owned chemical company. The attack resulted in the death of at least one innocent victim who was decapitated. That was probably the driver of the vehicle hijacked by these terrorists. Now, his head was where? Where did they...
They put it on a fence post.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
So it was festooned with flags, right? Or banners or something?
Some sort of banners with Arabic writing on them, right.
All right. So you have that. You have the... at least one of the perps was caught, a known terrorist. They've been tracking the guy. I guess they didn't track him close enough there in France. They apprehended him. Another may be dead, killed by the authorities. But this attack in France, that's just one of several attacks, three continents, as I said, in Europe, in Africa, and in Asia. Well, first of all, let me talk about North Africa. Tunisia, right across the Mediterranean Sea from France. At least 27 tourists, we think most of them British. I haven't confirmed that yet, but certainly Westerners, Western Europeans, dead. Popular beachfront hotel. You know, it's easy to get to Tunisia. It's been relatively calm, you know, despite the tumult in neighboring Libya. Tunisia has survived the Arab Spring, unease, and they've gone on. But now you had this, so you have these cheap beach resorts there. Great location, easy to get to, as I said, inexpensive. But now, I wonder what Tunisia's future is now that 27 of these tourists were killed in this attack on a beach resort. The gunman also, one of the gunmen at least, killed. You see his picture. It's all over the internet. Second gunman is being sought. But it's awful. And then the third attack in Asia, in Kuwait, you had a suicide bomber blowing up his explosive belt in the crowded Shiite mosque. So three attacks, three continents. One day, which brings me to President Obama, who is, without a doubt, has been on a roll lately. I mean, you had today's victory lap over gay marriage. Ever since he did that podcast interview following the Charleston Church massacre, he's been really upbeat. He used the N-word and he brought the racial divide into sharper focus. And Charleston's happening right now. It's kind of been overshadowed by the Supreme Court. But that memorial service, he is due to speak at that at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And WABC, 77 WABC, will carry the president's remarks. And I'm sure that'll be a great and stirring speech he makes in South Carolina. And I think the nation has to focus on the racial divide. But I really do believe, and this is why I'm talking about this stuff, the president has to wake up and smell the gunpowder. He's got to stop putting his head in the sand. You had three attacks now, three continents, same morning. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a war. This is a war. I don't care what you call it. This is a war. This is a real war. That was an American business that those terrorists attacked in France. This is Ramadan. This is the Muslim holiday the month where radical jihadists believe they can score these extra points. If we don't crush ISIS, then ISIS will continue to disrupt life throughout the civilized world, including our little corner. You know, this is serious. We have to step up those air attacks. The fact that they have national bases from which to launch these attacks, from which to put out their hateful message, where to train recruits for these suicide bombings and so forth, is outrageous in this day and age. We can't let it happen. We can't let it continue. The president has to understand that this cannot be wished away. Let's go. We've got to do something about that, despite the fact that we're having high fives today because of the Supreme Court decision. Here's David in New Jersey. Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. What's up, David?
Hi, Geraldo. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking the other day that one sign of arriving at sexual tolerance would be seeing an erectile dysfunction ad with two men in it.
Yeah, why not?
And even better, an interracial male couple with an erectile dysfunction medication ad.
Well, I could see the visuals.
Yeah, the whole thing, you know.
And why do you bring that? Did you expect that we'd all say, "Oh no, I can't believe my eyes. I'll have to tear out my eyes."
No, I actually don't feel that way at all, especially not from someone like you. You're the most tolerant, gentlemanly person on the radio.
Well, I appreciate that. I was afraid you were going to attack me for my
absolutely not. In fact, I'm always pissed off when I hear people attack you because you're incredibly kind and tolerant.
Oh, you're nice. Thank you. And I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I do. I need a little positive reinforcement. I'm doing the five today.
Oh, God. So, what a day to do the five. Yesterday and today, or they're just going to
Eric Bowling, Geraldo's coming. In Danbury, Robert's on the line. Thanks for calling 866-Geraldo. Robert, what's up?
Oh, you're welcome, Geraldo. I really love your show. You are about as down the middle as anyone I could find on radio or television.
I'm trying.
What bothers me, Geraldo, is, now, relatively speaking, I want to say this. I could give a damn about abortion, gay marriage, Second Amendment rights. We don't have our finger on the pulse anymore in this country. What good are all these rights if we can't find jobs, if we're under terrorist attack? I mean, these social issues to me are important, but so secondarily that we're gonna social issue our way into oblivion, and it just irritates me.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. Okay, I mean, I believe that the Republican Party, of which I am a proud member, commits political suicide by not only its embrace of these social positions. I mean, I could see you can embrace, we believe in traditional, but it's open advocacy and hostility to people who don't agree with the platform plank. It is ridiculous. It's not the Republican Party that I grew up with. Nelson Rockefeller, Jacob Javits, Louis Lefkowitz, John Lindsay. These were all Republicans. Jack Kemp. They didn't care about who married whom. You know, this is absolutely destructive to the GOP brand, I believe.
And I think, by the way, it's done mainly to curry popularity with their voters. It's like they're putting the country second and their own...
They're putting the primaries first, and then I appreciate the call. Thank you, Rob. And the, I think that it's a net loser. I think that social issues are a loser. And remember the whole war on women? What do we want Republicans to go down that road for again?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking at some of the people who are in the race for the GOP nomination and their response to today's ruling. So you have Mike Huckabee saying, the Supreme Court can no more repeal the laws of nature and nature's God on marriage than it can the laws of gravity. That's what he was tweeting out today.
All right. Well, you know, Mike, I think that some people opposed the law of gravity for centuries. They thought that the earth was the center of the universe. And then you wake up and you say, you know something? What was that all about? Like gay marriage, what was that all about? Like the two gay guys, the two black gay guys in the erectile dysfunction ad. I'd watch. I'd be curious to see how they, how they suggest sex in those erectile dysfunction ads. Like they got the one lonely lady looking horny, right, walking in some romantic setting by herself. I don't know.
She's looking for action.
Maybe
it's behind this tree over here.
What we've been through and what we have to go through, it would not be possible without a God. And we believe that this God of ours is more than able to take us through a time like this time. And so we invite you to come and worship with us this morning. Put aside every weight. Put aside every spirit of despondency and depression and despair. Wherever God is present, there is joy in the house.
Charleston, South Carolina.
Come on, let's praise the God.
On right now for the Reverend Bickney.
Let's worship a God.
One of the nine victims of the slaughter.
Let's celebrate a God who brings victory out of seeming defeat.
Amazing how that community has hung together. No violence, no acting out, black and white, standing shoulder to shoulder to condemn the racist attack, the racist terrorist attack that claimed those nine beautiful lives. The President of the United States due to speak at that service at 3:00 this afternoon. I don't know if this morning's events, the historic Supreme Court decision, will influence the president's travel plans. I don't expect they would. David, I know you've been hanging on a long time. I'm so sorry. Thank you for your patience.
Oh, sure. Hi. How you doing, Geraldo?
Good, man. So say whatever you have to say, please.
Okay. Yeah, just a couple of minor corrections. In the first hour, a caller said we need to get back to the Constitution. He talked about life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Those words are from the Declaration of
Independence. Yep. Well,
yeah.
Said.
And second one is from yesterday when you referred to the court finding again that Obamacare was constitutional. The only thing is there were no constitutional issues yesterday. It was statutory interpretation. I just wanted to point at that.
I have two corrections. I stand corrected, and I appreciate it. See you later.